Preston and Steve Fun Size.
Our next guest is going to be performing at Punchline tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 9:45. There are shows, and they're available at punchlinephilly.com. You may have seen him on the television series Superstore or Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
Standout role in that. Please welcome to our studio, Mr. Nico Santos.
Yay!
Good morning, Nico.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Have you been to Philadelphia before?
First time in Philly.
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, I'm nice. Loving it so far.
Awesome. Yeah. There's a great vibe to the city. As you're saying, there's going to be great weather this weekend, so you'll have a lot of people out and about looking to do stuff. They're going to come see you.
Please, please come see me. I'm excited to eat my way through your wonderful town.
Feel free. There's plenty.
Actually,
to do. Are you a bit of a foodie?
I am. I went to Zahav last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Okay.
It was great.
Nice.
And people keep telling me I need to have this this roast pork broccoli rob sandwich thing.
Yep.
Yeah, broccoli rob's a big thing here.
Yeah. Is it?
It is. It does.
Is it bigger than kale in L.A.? Or?
We were talking about, about kale and my introduction to kale. And I don't know, I'm not well-versed, but I love kale. But there are apparently a couple of different types of kale. And the first type I was introduced to was like eating shrapnel. And then the other, there's another type of kale that was a lot better. And now that's the kale I'm hooked on.
It's still, kale's delicious. We just put it in everything in L.A.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Your coffee, your smoothie.
It's not delicious, though.
I think it is.
Listen, you put enough dressing on kale. Covered it in ranch.
Right. Gravel is delicious if you put enough dressing on it. It's terrestrial radio. You can't say the S word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I know. Yeah.
Womp, womp.
Now, you mentioned L.A. How long have you lived in Los Angeles?
10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I read that you were born in the Philippines.
I
lived there till you were a teenager.
Yes. And then when I was 16, I moved to Oregon.
That seems the likely place to go to from the Philippines.
I moved to, from Manila, Philippines to Gresham, Oregon, because I wanted to know what regret felt like. Yes, and I was, interesting move.
And then from there to L.A.?
San Francisco, then Los Angeles.
All right, I started
doing comedy in San Francisco, and then, and then I moved to L.A. because I was going to try and make it. And then it was pretty hard for a few years.
I dated a Filipino girl for several years, and her parents were straight from the Philippines, and they did not care for her dating a white boy.
Really?
They were very...
You have a history of that. Preston has a history of the
Jewish
parents.
Girl, her parents didn't want to meet
I don't think that it's because you're white. I just think they didn't like you.
Shut up!
Nobody seems to like you.
It was probably just because you weren't like a doctor or a lawyer. That's probably what it was.
That's part of it.
Like my mom doesn't care that my boyfriend is white because I finally told her, like, well, he went to Harvard. It's like, good job.
Now her parents were very, very strict Catholic, and I did not know that about the Philippines. About that, it's a very,
very Catholic country.
Yeah,
I went to private Catholic school for like 15 years.
Okay,
you got a good education then.
I did have a great education.
So
scarred for life. great education.
The balance. Scarred for life. Good SAT scores.
It's a trade-off.
Crazy Rich Asians debuted a couple of months ago on, I think, HBO is running it. And so it's on constantly. And I have watched it several times. It's such a great, fun, hilarious movie. And the dynamic, your character is wonderful in it.
Thank you.
Had so much fun with it. It looks like
it was a lot of fun to do. I fell in love with the book. I fell in love with the character. I had a very specific vision of what I wanted to do for the character. And it was funny when I auditioned for it. I always had his voice in mind.
Yeah.
And then when I auditioned for it, they were like, "Great, we love the accent. Let's do one take without the accent, just so they have it."
Mm-hmm.
And I had never rehearsed the character that way before, and. It was as if I was speaking English for the first time.
Right.
And I really thought I blew it in the audition.
Had you settled on eight something other than a British accent, or?
I was always going to be British to me because of his upbringing.
Okay. You know,
but that is kind of a prevalent accent. There are a lot of British accents in that area.
In Singapore?
It's in Singapore. If you're come from a wealthy family, you get sent to boarding school in England.
Right. Okay. And so all that rang true. Did you have to audition directly for the director? Was John Chu?
I just auditioned for the casting director.
Okay.
And I actually didn't hear for weeks, and they actually at one point told me that we're so sorry, but you you didn't get it.
Like,
they're gonna pass, and I was like, oh, I thought I did well. I guess you know that's the business. I'm just gonna hold him back to my apartment. And then they got a call, and they were like, guess what? You're still in the running. Just wait. And I was waiting for like a callback or like, a second round of auditions, and then I just they were like, we're booking a ticket to Malaysia. You're flying to Malaysia next week.
Wow.
Yeah, it all happened sort of like within 3 weeks. It was kind of fast.
You and Awkwafina have several scenes together. Yeah. You guys play off each other wonderfully.
She's amazing.
I was curious. Yeah. She was a surprise to me because I wasn't that familiar with
her. She kind of came out of nowhere.
Than her music career. Yeah,
she stole that movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so there's a sequence where you and her are having the main character, Rachel, go through wardrobe changes.
Yes.
I'm assuming they let you guys just riff, and a lot of those lines are ones you
the
came up with.
The entire scene was improvised, basically.
Okay.
Because we didn't know which of the what gowns were going to get cleared for the makeover scene. So we had a few pictures the night before, and then like some more gowns like the day of. So there were John Chu was so gracious enough to let us play and like do whatever you guys want, and just took hours of film and just let us really have at it. It was really wonderful.
The clown tampon was probably my favorite line of that sequence.
One gets I get stopped a lot. That was good. People are just like, clown tampon.
Yeah.
We had your Jimmy O.
He's great.
He was talking about, because I think we're all drawn to look at an opulent lifestyle and like that. I was on board, figuratively, when they're traveling over in that super incredibly wonderful first class, the section, so on and so forth. But he said, relatively speaking, the budget for the movie was low, and it was done with a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yes, I mean that is the magic of Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was done for a relatively small budget, and that's why our production designers. I mean, I was surprised they didn't get nominated for an Oscar because they really
it looks lavish.
I mean, they made the estate, the big mansion where we filmed it was a an old hotel in Malaysia that the Queen of England used to stay at when Malaysia was still a Commonwealth of England.
England, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a rundown, dilapidated property. And
it looked great.
It was amazing. And there were literally like the room that we were in was all done up, and the room next to us was all boarded up, and there were like feral dogs running around and like bats flying through the set.
Wow.
We were like, they were like, hold for bats. Hold for bats.
You don't hear that a lot on a movie, hold for bats. Like, yeah.
You're just going to hold for bats.
What happens to a place like that after the filming is finished?
I don't know, it goes back to being dilapidated.
Yeah. The dogs take over the nice room, too.
Yeah, they're just
the dogs are filming a movie now.
Yes, they are. That's
I'm a fan of Superstore. I think it's a good show. I think it's really well written. I don't think it gets a lot of the...
We're kind of like an under-the-radar show. It's kind of like, we've been on for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
We have an extremely amazing fan base. It's very loyal. The critics love us. But, it's just like, I'm very thankful to our fans and the critics. They do love us. But it's not like it hasn't, like, been talked about as much as some of the other shows. But,
it's so weird because I remember, like, when Brooklyn Nine-Nine came out, it won, like, the Golden Globe for the first season. And then it's just like... The show is sharp, like your show is sharp. It's sharply written, the ensemble sharp, and then just kind of like, man, and for some reason. But the fans love it. It gets supported. The fact that it's renewed is great. But I've always contended that in a large department store or in a mall setting, having worked in them periodically, in the earlier parts of my life, there are tons of dramas and stories and sub stories. It's every. It's like a paint and place in every store. And did you ever work in retail?
Worked in retail. I worked in San Francisco. I worked in retail for 8 years, but I worked like super bougie retail.
Did you?
I worked in like Neiman Marcus and Christian Dior, selling like $10,000 gowns and handbags.
Right. Wow. So let me ask you a question about that, because I've walked into some of these bougie retails and I get treated a little bit weird, and I can't help but think to myself, and this is going to sound a little a-hole-ish. Dude, you're working in retail. Like, why are you acting like you drive a Bentley?
This is my biggest pet peeve. Because also, when I work that job, and so when I walk to a store like that and people are really snotty, I'm like, you sell the product.
Yeah.
You can't afford the product.
Yes.
Don't be putting on airs. like you're, you know, a freaking like Vanderbilt.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm not an a-hole. Am I just
you're
like...
not an a-hole. And also, like, you know, you're in the business of customer service. Just do your freaking job.
Yeah. You'll see that though. They'll put on some and some, the places that know how to do it right will take. They don't know because I'm sure in your life you've encountered people you would never know had the money.
Oh. Yeah, and this is actually how I built, like, some of my best clients when I worked in San Francisco, because somebody would walk in just dressed like Joe Schmo, and then they would, like, I'd like these pair of shoes. I'm like, that's $2,000. They're like, great, send me a new pair every 3 months. and then I look up this person, and they're like, oh, they're the CEO of whatever company.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you had, and that's, I assume that's sort of the goal, is to build up a clientele, your people who come to see you specifically.
Yes, your regulars. You know, right. Basically, like, you're dealing with, like, you know, I mean, it's like the Crazy Rich Asians.
right.
Like the society housewives of the town who have like the ballet and the symphony and the opera to go to. And...
Did you deal with super wealthy Asian businessmen and women? Yeah, yeah.
I had clients who I'd never met in person.
Really?
Yeah, who I would just work with their personal assistants. I had clients who would shop and be like, I need three of... Like, whatever they bought, they need three of each because they would just they hated packing and they would just have one sent to each of their homes.
Right.
You know, I mean, I aspire to live like this one day.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, of course.
What was the biggest sale you ever... What was the biggest one-time purchase?
One-time person? Yeah. $60,000.
Wow.
For two items.
For two items?
What?
Yes. A bag and a bracelet.
Oh, my God.
And do you remember who it was?
Some housewife.
Do you remember what cost more? Was it the bag or the bracelet?
It was the bag.
Oh, my God.
It was a crocodile bag.
Still alive?
Did it come with a crocodile?
Yeah. they just put
I'm
a handle.
Now you're going to have to be really careful when you walk out the store. Feed it every 3 hours. You know, he get a little grumpy. So just good luck, ma'am. Good luck.
It's now, funny when you look into the Neiman Marcus, the calendar. I mean, the catalog. For a while, I think it was Neiman Marcus, used to sell like Arabian horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have this really lavish Christmas catalog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you would be able to buy like tree houses or something. It's just really... It is amazing. You sort of encounter people who shop at those stores like they're shopping at Target.
Yeah.
And people walk in, I'm like, you just spent what I make an entire year on one single item.
Yeah.
So is your bag very expensive that you're wearing today?
I mean, it's not from Target. Listen, I have worked very hard. Yes. I have struggled for very long, and I am going to enjoy the fruits of my labor.
I think it's a cool. I complimented you on it because I think I hate carrying stuff in my pockets, you know, and as it starts to get filled. We were talking about this the other day.
I am all about a purse.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even call it a merce. I don't get what a man purse is. It's a purse. It's a bag. Yeah. Bags have no gender, people. So just I don't like carrying stuff in my pockets. So I just
Listen, my best friend all the time would have me carry his stuff and like I was his boyfriend.
Yeah,
he'd be like, hey, and he would go, I don't like, it makes me, like, my pants feel all bulky. I was like, and you're going to make my pants feel all bulky, dude.
Is that Jeff?
Yeah.
But if you have cargo shorts, I mean, it's like a lot of my straight friends wear cargo shorts, and I'm like, well, you got space in your pocket. These are slim jeans.
It won't work.
No,
that's why we wear cargo pants. So you've had some success, Nico. So what was your first big purchase after like a decent paycheck?
I bought this watch. Last year, and I bought like other stuff, but this watch was particularly special to me because it's a watch that I saw at Neiman Marcus when I worked there 16 years ago.
Whoa, that's cool. Awesome.
I told myself, I fell in love with the watch, and I told myself, it's like, I am never going to be able to afford this, no matter how hard I work in my life. It's too much. And then last year for my birthday, or the year before, when I turned 39, I didn't have a party or anything, and then I was just walking by the store and was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I deserve it. And I walked in and I was like, I bought it. And every time I look at it, I just remember like the years where I literally only had ramen to eat for 3 months, you know, of my life and couldn't afford my rent and like just all the blood, sweat, and tears that took for me to get to the place where I am. So
that's awesome.
I don't regret it one bit.
Great.
Good for you.
So you came on my radar recently with Crazy Rich Asians, but obviously you've been doing stand up. How long has that been in your life?
I've been doing stand up for a while, at least like 13, 14 years now.
No kidding.
A lot of people actually only know me as an actor. It's kind of weird that when I moved to LA, I only intended to do stand up. And then for whatever reason, it had pivoted to acting, and I booked more acting roles. So I had to put stand-up in the back burner. But a lot of people sort of know me more as an actor, but they don't realize whenever I'm at a club, they're like, oh, my God, you're, like, really funny, and I didn't know you did stand-up. I'm like, I've been doing this forever.
Right. Well, a lot of people that we get who come through who are comedians and actors, and do both, when we ask what is the preference, if they're going to pick a preference, it's the stand-up because it's the most immediate and it's you communing with the audience. And is that the same? Would that hold true for you as well?
Well, I mean, it's apples and oranges.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you exercise a different creative muscle when you're doing comedy acting on television.
Right.
There's nothing like stand-up. It is like the rush that you get when you're really killing on stage. It is amazing. But also the feeling of like when you bomb is the worst feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. When I started doing acting on a comedy series, it was just like a different muscle. And
yeah.
It's improvisation and a different type of comedy. So it's I don't know. I would love, in the best of both worlds, I would love to do.
Both maintain.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I've never been on an audition, but when you're in an audition, are you allowed to do improv? Are you strictly have to stick to the lines?
It depends on the project.
What about Crazy Rich Asians?
Crazy Rich Asians, we were allowed to do whatever we wanted. Even at the audition, I kind of like added some stuff. My audition for Superstore was the same thing. I kind of added some stuff, and we are allowed to improvise in Superstore as well. But I've been on auditions where they're like, I would begin to improvise an audition, and they would stop me. They're like, stop. Stick to the script. Don't put nothing funny or whatever. I'm like, huh. All right. I mean, this is what you bought me here for. But I guess if you wanted to be boring.
Yeah.
Needless to say, did not book that job.
Sure. We'll do it the boring way.
Yeah.
If you're just jumping in, it's Nico Santos who's joining us. Going to be at Punchline Philly tonight and Saturday. I've had a couple people. Somebody was telling me over the weekend, like, I love that movie. It's Crazy Rich Asians. I hope they do a sequel. And I was like, I don't think you really need to. I'm sure you would love it because it's another great paycheck.
Yes.
But I'm like, you know what? The story, it wrapped up nicely. Yeah. Yes, we hope that everybody gets along after mm-hmm. this and they live happily ever after. But what would your thoughts be?
Well, I
on
mean,
a sequel, and is there rumblings of that?
There are sequels.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, there are three books to the series.
Okay, I wasn't aware.
So,
okay.
The movie's based on a trilogy. There are plans for sequels.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, if there's more than one book, they have to.
Yes. Yes.
I like that. Listen, it struck at the right time. You had the full cast, which was tremendous. A lot of who do we have in here was talking about it as well. I forget, but basically saying it just a lot of work for actors who otherwise would be overlooked for roles. And then you have then to work with like Michelle Yeoh,
oh my God.
Who's a legend.
That was to me was like what I was freaking out about.
I mean,
she's also like the nicest, most gracious person.
Is she?
She's incredible. She was like, and she also just carried herself so elegantly. She was like a royal.
Oh, she's like her, but I mean that. I'm watching her through years and years and years of Hong Kong movies and action movies, and where she's just a mega badass. But she was such a perfect choice for that role.
She really, it was really nice to see her in this role because, like you said, I've just seen her in roles where she just kicked butt all the time, and to see her in sort of like a more subdued, restrained role was really wonderful.
Nice.
So, is there any? So, John Chu, I know, I think he's working on a whole bunch of different projects right now, so that it's not likely. But do you think do you think the second one?
We're slated to shoot it late 2020.
Nice, excellent.
So that is what I've heard through through the trade papers.
All right. Okay. Check the trades.
Check the trades.
Eat your kale. Check the trades.
That's talking to town.
Well, listen, like I said, Nico is playing tonight at Punchline. It's his first time in Philadelphia. Please make him welcome. Go out and see the show. Have a great time. 7:30 and 9:45 each night, and you can get the tickets at punchlinephilly.com. Great to meet you, Nico.
Nice to meet you all.
Continued success. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Nico Santos, guys.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.